Good Monday morning.
Yes, Monday. Long morning.
Welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir.
Farah, we've kind of swapped themes today. I'm very, very casual.
And I'm very formal.
And you look lovely, and I look like I'm dressed as if Monday was an outfit.
Guys, Lubna's always beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's so, so sweet. Look who's talking. Oh, this should just be a show about us complimenting each other. It would be so much more fun. Right, we're going to go through the headlines real quick. UAE's Habtoud, the hospitality group, is opening a Lebanese channel and studio city. Palestinian developer Mohammed Hadid's company is filing for bankruptcy. Al Dar could have paid, allegedly, Tony Robbins $1 million to give a private pep talk in Dubai. Dubizzle has acquired Drive Arabia for an alleged $8.2 million. And finally, which is my favorite story in a while, it's an ex-TikTok employee who is being praised for his honest post about redundancy. Hmm. So exciting stuff today.
It is. Honestly, can't wait to talk all about them.
Yeah. So tell me, how was your weekend? It's Monday.
Well, what did you do? It was a very stay-at-home, sick, antibiotics weekend.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
That's, oh, yes. I love that. Very, very podcasty. You know what? Sometimes it's nice to get sick slightly. Mm-hmm. Nothing major. Yeah. Just because, you know, you get to just stay in bed and be a couch potato, kind of, you know? It's kind of almost like a detox, really.
I do agree with you because, like, you get to just, like, sit in your bed.
Yeah.
You know, recharge, mm-hmm. right? After, mm-hmm. like, talking with people at work and then from people at work to your family members and everyone around. So it kind of can be a lot sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Sorry, I'm having a... Oh, yes. A battle with my earpiece here.
Yes, it's Lubna versus her earpiece.
Who wins? Every single day. But, you know, keeps it exciting. Right, let's go to the first story. UAE's Al Habtoud has gone big with a Lebanese TV channel and studio city, to create 300 jobs. Mm-hmm. It's a luxury developer, Al Habtoud Group, obviously, you know, all around the canal, you know, that's Al Habtoud. They're also known for their hotels, luxury hotels. And they're expanding their reach, obviously, with a brand new TV channel set to broadcast from Beirut, Lebanon. Very mm-hmm. strange, though, right? Because a TV channel, everyone is going towards digital and social media. So
that is strange. That is true. But I believe that, yes, we are actually going in terms of media, mm-hmm. you know, from like, you know, we keep on evolving. Media keeps on evolving, whether it started from print mm-hmm. to radio to TV, and then now it's digital, right?
And now, apparently, according to Habtoud, it's back to TV.
Yes, it
apparently.
Is. Apparently. It is back to TV. The other day, I was, like, reading.
Is it, though? Yeah,
it
go
is.
Ahead.
Yes, it is. Really? It is, because what's happening is, yes, a lot of people do have Netflix accounts, mm-hmm. you know, Netflix accounts. And mm-hmm. Whether it's Netflix accounts, Apple TV, OSM Plus, and all of these, I would say.
The streaming services, yeah. Yes. I mean, those are, you know, overtaking all the TV channels, though,
yes.
right? So,
but people, I don't know what it is, but I feel like, you know, like the more that you go forward, mm-hmm. in a way you get backwards, even with fashion, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed it, but the fashion has gone from, like, I don't know, the 70s style, mm. back in the actual 70s, and then kind of evolving.
I mean, fashion trends, fashion trends, vinyl, etc. Although,
true. Yes,
I just don't see TV channels making a comeback. I'll be totally honest with you. Mm. But it's exciting news anyway, because the new venture promises to create hundreds of jobs, 300 in particular, in journalism, production, and other media-related mm-hmm. Fields. The focus of the channel will be on uplifting content, aiming to spread hope and positivity throughout Lebanon. So that's interesting. The company is also investing heavily in the future of Lebanese media by building a massive 100,000 square meter studio city. Mm-hmm. The complex is expected to become a hub for film and TV production, attracting international filmmakers and further boosting Lebanon's reputation in the entertainment industry. Who knew that? I mean, I know that Al-Habtoud have obviously had interests and investments in Lebanon, but mm-hmm. Who thought they would go back? I think they sued Lebanon at some point for not paying them back. So who knows? Maybe they're getting this TV channel for free. I don't know. Is that the case? I mean, they actually sued the country of Lebanon, if I'm not mistaken, and I would be very surprised if I am mistaken, because the company, you know, made massive headlines.
I mean, yes.
Not too long ago.
Of course, yeah, of course. But I think that, yes, that might have happened. Mm-hmm. But he is taking that aside, and the fact that he is actually investing in having a studio city with an actual TV channel, because mm-hmm. he thinks and he believes that it is actually going to be coming back, which, by the way, I can assure you that it will for sure will. TV never dies. Yes, there is digital. However, digital has, I think it's only dying because, you know how it has been more towards like TikTok, right? And short videos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Informative videos don't quite do well on, you know, like those on digital platforms. You know what I mean? Like TikTok dances, like Charli D'Amelio, or those. Yeah. I'd say TikTok stars, they do,
you know,
well.
TikTok was known for the dances, right? Everyone was making fun of that. But now it's evolved to everything from news, gossip, works really well for gossip.
That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, strange, but I feel like there is more of a story there, because it's just really strange, like a TV channel in this day and age in Lebanon, where, you know, they have had this conflict before. It's great for Lebanon, but, you know, it's not a very stable country either. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, you know, Khalaf Al-Habtoud loves to be on social media. Yeah. He loves to be everywhere. You know, he's a charismatic guy. And so is his son as well. He has three sons. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. So let's see how it goes.
I'm excited.
Someone else who loves being in front of the camera is Mohammed Hadid. He's, of course, the Palestinian developer and father of supermodels Gigi and Bella Hadid. His company is facing bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. It's based in Beverly Hills. Filed for bankruptcy after racking up $54.6 million in debt. Yeah. Not so good. Not so good. Not so good. He's also a reality TV star. Yes. I can't quite remember the show he was on, because I didn't watch it, to be honest with you.
He was with his, I think,
Real Housewives.
Real Housewives with his
of
wife.
Beverly Hills.
Yeah, Yolanda.
Really?
I'm not sure. Yeah, he. The
were they together
of,
or divorced?
I don't remember, because I didn't watch the show.
Yeah.
But I remember that Yolanda was his wife.
Yeah.
And that he is the father of Bella, Gigi, and Anwar Hadid as well.
Maybe we should watch more reality TV show.
Maybe we are the problem.
He has had a lot of issues, though, with his projects in Beverly Hills. I remember that I interviewed him years ago, and he was really lovely, and I'll tell a nice little story just for the show. But he had massive issues because he was building these huge mansions, you know, in LA, in Beverly Hills, and then all the neighbors were complaining that it was too big, the construction was too loud, it was taking up, you know, it was kind of covering parts of their view, you know, overshadowing their properties, etc. So, yeah, I mean, let's find out a little bit more about this. The company is called Tree Lane LLC, filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy on April the 25th for the undeveloped four-acre property located at 2451 Summit Ridge Drive in Beverly Hills. The company owes $54.6 million to creditors, as we mentioned, including Hadid himself. This comes after years of delays and legal battles surrounding the project, right? So this is literally the project that I was just talking about. Skylark Capital Management sued Hadid in 2022, alleging missed loan payments, unfinished construction, and unpaid property taxes. The future of the Beverly Hills project remains uncertain. Obviously, it's something is going to have to, it's either going to go on or be demolished. I don't quite know enough about this particular property, unfortunately. Mm. I do know about the other properties, and it was always in the news. He is a personality, even though he doesn't speak a single language very well.
Yeah.
Because he moved around as a child a lot.
That's true.
So,
I mean, we have seen, you know, with how like the supermodels Gigi and Bella Hadid, they idealize him so much, specifically because he is very pro-Palestine, you know, and he talks about it, and he is not ashamed of that at all. However, as a businessman, I would say that he's in debt, and he has closed his, you know, shut down his company because, you know, like
it hasn't shut down. It filed for for bankruptcy, but we'll see what happens. Yeah,
we can never know. But I would say that's because often people do take some. They do take. Let's say like they see that one thing has gone.
I mean, it just wasn't doing well, you know, and mm-hmm. it has been in the news for a very long time. It wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
He is a great architect though, right? And he's built so many beautiful houses, so we have to give him credit for that. Maybe it's just time to, you know, throw in the hat and call it quits and do something else, you know. But one quick story about Mohammed Hadid. He's a really, really nice guy. Hi, Hisham is just taking a story of us, so we're just really, really nice guy. Interviewed him in a studio at the previous company where I was, and I had the idea of recreating the Putin cover on Time magazine. Mm-hmm. The famous one where Putin is kind of sitting in this armchair, has both arms out on either side. It's a very strong, powerful, captivating image. So I gave him the idea, and he said, why don't you sit down and be Putin instead? And I sat down on the chair, and he had his hand, you know, on my shoulder, stood by my side, and we took those candid, obviously it wasn't the cover picture. We took another picture of him sitting in the chair, but it was lovely. It was lovely, and I just remember thinking, you know, kudos to men who can get up from their, you know, power seats sometimes and give it give it to women, you know.
That's
a lot of
true,
men
yeah.
help women sometimes much more than women help women, right?
That is true. Oh yeah, 100%. But again, like I think honestly, like him filing for a bankruptcy this time is because like sometimes because he is trying to, I would say, keep up with the architecture and so on. So he just went overboard with the space and the limit that he could actually.
Well, speaking of real estate, Aldar Properties possibly paid Tony Robbins, not one of my favorite people, honestly. There are so many strange stories surrounding Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that a bit later. Apparently, Aldar may have paid him $1 million. That's a lot of money to give a private pep talk in Dubai. I can't believe they would pay that much. But apparently on May the 1st, Aldar held an exclusive event for their brokers featuring the super, super famous Tony Robbins. Is he super though? I don't know. The event was held at the Coca-Cola Arena. He's obviously a famous American coach, a life coach. He has over 7 million followers on Instagram. He does these really, you know, I don't know how the Dubai event was. I didn't get to go, but he does the, it's almost cult-like. Mm-hmm. And there was a documentary on Netflix about him. And there was this really famous case by several women that he, you know, is very aggressive, inappropriate, a lot of other things. So, yeah, do you know Tony Robbins?
Of course, yes. But speaking of the fact that you think that that is like a cult, I feel like maybe his cult is more of like people who are actually looking forward to learn and improve and, you know, I would say evolve in their life, right?
Yeah.
I feel like if someone is not with that, it's for sure would not go. Now, regarding the fact of the price, I would understand why would they, you know, give him $1 million to, I don't know, give the talk, because like not everyone, I can't just like go, you know, on Coca-Cola Arena and tell people to be like, oh yeah, be positive. Yes, you can do this. Yes, you can do that. You know what? It wouldn't be that much of like a quality talk as much as he actually would, because he for sure has a lot of experience.
Yeah, he does. The events are very concert-like. He makes people jump up and down. Mm. It's very... I'll just say it's for extroverts. If you're an introvert, don't go to a Tony Robbins event. Anyways, it's estimated that he charges anywhere between $300,000 to $1 million to speak at events. And the tickets for his next public event on November 14 start at just $1,195. Wow.
Mm, my God.
So cheap. So
I mean, cheap. How broken do you need to be from the inside to go and pay that much amount?
I mean, we don't want to judge people going there, but I would definitely do something else with that money. Surely there's a reason that people love him and he's really successful, but that's a lot of money to be jumping up and down and hearing Tony Robbins speak. I don't know if you've ever heard. Have you ever heard him speak?
Yeah, he's so hyper.
He's really hyper, but do you find anything he says of value? Is he just overhyped, you think?
I honestly, to be honest with you, I think he is overhyped, because like I know a lot of life coaches that you can pay like way less amount of money than just like, I don't know, thousands of dollars to go and watch, right? You will have like the one-on-one experience with the life coach for less, and she'll be giving you the same exact advice. He'll be giving you the same exact advice.
Exciting news. Dubizzle has bought a Dubai media company called Drive Arabia for an alleged $8.2 million. That's according to our sources. The founder of, it's basically an automotive consumer portal. The story is really, really interesting. The founder set it up for just $10. And on his LinkedIn, right, so he sold it for, the number, I want to get it right, $8.2 million. Mm-hmm. He set it up just for $10. That was in 2003. Now, on his LinkedIn, it says he's been on a hiatus as a stay-at-home parent since 2021. And they just announced last week that they sold his company. So, you know, he's basically been on vacation and started it for just $10. Like, it's just incredible. Anyway, the figure, by the way, was given to Smashy Business by sources close to the matter. However, it has not been confirmed. The number has not been confirmed. The founder is also an advisor. I'm going to attempt to pronounce his name correctly. Mashfiq Chowder. He's also an advisor and an investor in startups. He invested in car subscription platform Karasti, online car booking services provider MySiyara. I love how all these names are, it's a little bit confusing, but really cool, because they have Arab origins, but they're in English. Online car booking service, MySiyara, and a driver on-demand app, Zofer, very famous. He also invested in car subscription software provider Tomorrow's Journey, which is used by car subscription platform Move by Al-Futtaim. As well as Carzati, a platform that sells used or pre-owned cars. Drive Arabia is, as I mentioned, Middle East consumer automotive portal, offers unique services, really. This is actually really helpful. Basically, it provides comprehensive car buyer guides and detailed road tests. You know, a lot of the times when you go and buy, you want to go and buy a used car. It can be tricky from choosing the car to testing it, etc. So
that is true.
It focuses on the UAE. It caters to the region. Operates in Saudi, Oman, Qatar, Kuwait, and Bahrain. Just some kind of context for you guys if you're interested in using it. So Dubizzle obviously is the most well-known regional online classifieds platform. Been here for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. You can get anything from cars to furniture to, you know, you name it. Anyway, it said the acquisition will help it consolidate its automotive advertising offerings, introduce new products, and expand its reach to better serve its customers. The group's brands include Beyoot in the UAE and broader GCC and Zameen and OLX in Pakistan.
Honestly, I'm excited because it's just like I always had an issue with Dubizzle.
Really?
To be honest with you. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I've always had. Because like what happens is, okay, like I'm going to be fair. I'm not calling anyone out. I'm not bashing anything.
Go ahead.
I'm bashing Dubizzle out. But okay. A lot of scams are on Dubizzle.
Yeah.
You know what
sure.
I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, it's like, seriously, you guys, it seems like I can't trust anyone right now.
Yeah. Sounds like there's a hidden kind of personal message there, Farah.
Oh, yeah.
It is very hard to find trustworthy people.
That is true.
I do agree about some problems mm-hmm. with scams. I guess a lot of, you know, even Property Finder, which is a, you know, real estate, a portal for real estate, the brokers were also posting properties that were already not available, already rented, or they would post pictures that don't look like the property at all. We are running out of time, so on to the last story, my favorite story. Thomas Tabbitt is an ex-TikTok employee, and he's being praised for his very honest and raw and vulnerable post on LinkedIn after he was made redundant. So he was working in the Dubai office. He's also ex-Anghami. And his post grabbed the attention of hundreds, mm-hmm. if not thousands, of people. Tabbitt was one of 60 employees to be let go in January across the board. Obviously, there has been a wave of tech layoffs in the industry. But I'll just read a little bit from the post. Mm-hmm. He said, "Today marks 4 months since I was impacted by a redundancy at TikTok Dubai, and I'm still actively on the lookout for a job opportunity. Sadly, people hesitate to bring up the topic of redundancy, but let me tell you, it's perfectly okay to reach out and ask how are you feeling, et cetera, et cetera." I'm going to go just through the really interesting kind of emotional bits. He said, "When you go through a redundancy process, it can take a while to recover because it can feel like as if you are in some way responsible. Even the word redundancy sounds bad, like you're no longer of use. But then you look at what happened globally over the past 2 to 3 years and you realize that it can happen to anyone, including high performers. It doesn't have to be fair or make sense. It's business. The position is redundant, not you." So it's lovely. I mean, he goes on for a little bit, but it's people were, you know, praising that someone contacted him here and gave him his number in the comments on the Smashy Business Instagram account. He said, you know, "Thomas, it's time to get back to work. I would love to have a chat with you. Would love to hire you, etc."
You know, actually, it is. I would understand why any employee, you know, would feel kind of like a negative emotion when, you know, being like, let's say, like redundant. Let's call it. Let's not say anything else. But because if you want to think about it in a way, it's that, you know, fine, if the position is no longer needed, why cannot the employer, I don't know, provide help to the employee? Because like because they do not keep in mind that this person that you are letting go of is going to be going back home with, I don't know, eating themselves up and not feel and feeling less worthy, because it does take like some of like your self-worth, and they would be like kind of like back into the job hunt, which is really exhausting and dating, let me say. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So it's like, fine, you know, you don't want me anymore, but I don't know, give me help.
Some companies do provide some help, not all, obviously, very few, but there was a really interesting movie. Good thing for Thomas, though, that someone reached out in the comments, and that's what we love at Smashy Business, is that we also cover these, you know, industry kind of community, sorry, stories.
Yes.
But there's a really famous movie with George Clooney that he stars as the main character, and it's called Up in the Air. Mm-hmm. And it's basically that George Clooney's job in the movie is to fire people, but he fires them in a very manipulative way, let's say. Mm-hmm. He convinces them that this is a good thing.
That
however, you know, he tells this one guy, there's a really, really impactful scene in the movie. He tells him, you know, the guy kind of starts, you know, freaking out. He says, I have to pay for my daughter's medicine. She's sick, et cetera. What am I going to do? And then George Clooney says, what was your dream? What was your dream before this job? And then the guy starts telling him that he always wanted to be a chef. And so, you know, the guy leaves the office, leaves work, mm-hmm. excited about chasing his dream, not really realizing that I've actually just been fired, and how on earth am I going to make this dream
come
true?
Actually funny.
So brilliant movie. I'm not going to spoil mm-hmm. more of it for you guys, but check it out. Really interesting stuff. Yeah,
for sure.
Some people go wild when they get made redundant or fired.
Yes, yes.
Understandably,
yeah,
I feel like
it
should, you know, should be waived, whatever they do, depending obviously on what they do. Anyways, thanks guys for listening, and tune in with us every morning at 10 a.m. smashy.tv for the video version, or you can get us wherever you get your podcasts.